Opportunity to get up and preach before you. Next week, Brother Casey Head will be here and he'll be starting his preaching full time with us, and we look forward to that. So you get me one last time before Casey comes. I was thinking, you know, Randy's been doing his PowerPoint and a fantastic job, but I'm in big trouble if electronics fail today because my Bible's electronic too. So you got to do that next, Randy. But, today's topic came. I've been thinking about it for some time. Scott preached a few weeks ago about the treasures that we have in heaven, and Craig's preached about that a little bit. And then last week, Mike preached about heaven and the glory of heaven and how wonderful it is. And I've been thinking about that idea for some time. And so today I want to talk about this idea of not all. And I have a question for you. If right now, this moment, you were to die, would you go to heaven? Think about it. If at this very moment Christ were to come, would you go to heaven? Do you believe that you have lived your life in a way that you can get into heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Think about that idea for 1 minute. If you were to die today, would you get into heaven? You see, Mike's lesson last week was a fantastic lesson. It talked about how awesome heaven is and what it's like in the comparison that we can't even fathom what it's like. But in today's society, I think that there are both pros and cons to the thought of heaven, not heaven itself, but to the thought and idea of heaven. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had a friend or a coworker, an employee, somebody that maybe doesn't live the greatest life, their family life isn't the best, and they have a family member die, and they say, oh, well, they're in a better place now, or, well, they're in heaven, Gam Gam's in heaven dancing with Pap Pap. Well, how did Gam Gam die? Oh, well, she was an alcoholic and she had cirrhosis of the liver. You see, I think that the thought of heaven can provide a false sense of security. I think that we ourselves can have a false sense of security when we think about heaven, because when not properly taught the requirements of heaven, it can be misleading, because there are things that are necessary to enter into heaven. Just like you cannot go to a San Francisco Giants baseball game and get into the gates without a ticket. You can't do it. And this idea is prevalent in our society today that all dogs, all people go to heaven. Alex and I were watching a TV show, and in the show, the family's sitting around and they're eating breakfast, and this pigeon flies and smacks into the glass window, and the bird falls over. And it's alive for a moment, but eventually the bird dies. And the parents are struggling over what to tell their daughter about the loss of this pigeon, about the loss of this bird. And they don't have a faith that they believe. There's no Christianity or anything in their family. And so they decide that they're going to tell their daughter that the bird has died and gone to heaven. And as they tell the story, the daughter asks, well, what happens? What happened to the bird? And they said, well, the bird is in heaven with your dad's mom. That's where it is, and it's a better place. And I think that this idea is detrimental. When the punishment of hell is not associated with heaven, it seems that heaven is the only option, that there is no other option but to go to a better place. And I think that the Bible teaches against that. I think that God says that there are two places. If we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." You see, it talks about the path that leads to destruction. There are two separate paths. One is broad, and many are those who find it. But the way of life is narrow. It doesn't say that there is one road and that there are multiple forks. This is for the good, good, good people. This is for the good, good people. This is for the good. This is for the okay, and this is for the bad people, and they all go to the same place. That's not what it says. It says that there is a broad path that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it. What a sad thing that is, to think that everybody gets to go to heaven. So how is it that we can ensure that we are living our lives, that we are on the right path? Continuing on in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 15 through 20, it says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." We can see that there are two types of trees. There is the good fruit on the good tree and the bad fruit on the bad tree. And what happens to the bad tree? It is cut down and it is thrown into the fire. I like to call this the unchecklist of Christianity. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. This is often a spot that we go to and we typically read the whole passage, though we'll stop today, about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." I like to call this the unchecklist of Christianity because all too often we sit here and we say, "Well, I don't do those things. I don't participate in that. I don't drink, cuss, smoke, do drugs, cheat on my spouse, lie, cheat, steal. I'm a good person." Yeah, you may be. But is that all that it takes to get into heaven? Is that all that's required? We often think that if I don't do these things and I do these others, that I've got it, that I'm going to get into heaven. But I don't think that's true either. Matthew chapter 7, continuing in our text, in verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit in his glorious throne. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I say to you, the extent you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus responded the same way to both sides. He said to them, you saw me when I was weak. You didn't clothe me, or you did clothe me. He gave the same response to both sides here. But what did they both do? They both said, Lord, Lord. They both thought that they were in the right relationship. And one was right. But they were still shocked because they didn't realize the things that they were doing. Because Christianity isn't a checklist. What they were doing was a way of life. What they were doing was each and every day they helped people, they loved people, they did the things that Jesus taught them. And then you look at those who said, Lord, Lord, and are on his left. They didn't do those things. And what happened? He says, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Do we fit into that category? Do you and I, sitting here today, fit into the left side? How horrible would it be to hear those words, depart from me? You think that you're doing great. You're here on Sunday. You're at church. You don't drink, smoke, cuss, lie, cheat, steal. But yet, God could say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And preparing this lesson and thinking about this for a long time, this lesson's for me, it's not for you guys. Because I think about my life and the things that I do, and I think I can do more. I need and must do more. I can't continue on by not visiting, by not calling and caring. The sins that are in my life, I have to stop. Because though I may not lie, cheat, drink, cuss, steal, there's still things that I'm guilty of. And the thing about it is I don't want to hear those words, depart from me. So I need to get better. Pray for me that I can get better. Because I don't want to go to hell. Hopefully, you don't either. We know that the things that we are doing, will we know the things that we're doing that will get us into heaven? You see, we all have to strive to do the things that are right. And I think that we can have that idea and that knowledge, the knowingness that we can get into heaven. Look, Paul knew that he would make it into heaven. He said, I finished the race. There's a crown laid up for me in heaven. So what do we have to do as Christians? What do we have to do in our lives to go to heaven? I think in Matthew chapter 22 and 37 through 40, Jesus sums it up. He says, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets. Every commandment that's given can be found in these two commandments. If you love the Lord your God, you won't disappoint him. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't disappoint them. That is what we have to do. It's a lifestyle. It's an everyday thing. It's not just coming to church on Sunday, coming to church on Wednesday, saying a few prayers. It's a lifestyle that we have to have, because we can see that there were those that thought They had done good. They prophesied in the name, they taught in the name, and performed miracles in the name of Christ. And yet he said, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Only through God can we make it into heaven. Only through the love and the grace of God can we get into heaven. He sent, we have all sinned, and because of that, Jesus had to come and die for our sins. It's only through that grace and mercy that we can even have the hope of an eternal life. And it's a long and narrow road. There are few who find it. Are we on that road? Are we living our lives like we should? Are we doing the things that are necessary to get into heaven? I asked you when we started a simple question. When you die, will you go to heaven? Answer that question now. When you die, will you go to heaven? Or will you hear, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness? God is a loving God. He sent his Son to die for our sins. And through that love and mercy and grace that he had, we have the hope of eternal life, though we deserve the death that Jesus paid for us. The rest of the text in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What is your house built upon? Is your house built upon the rock, or is it built upon the sand? Are you living your life in a way that you will hear those words, enter in, my good and faithful servant? Or those words, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If you're not baptized, then you have not built your house and you do not have that hope of an eternal life. That is one of the requirements that we read about in the Bible that is necessary to get into heaven. That is one of the things that we must do in order to obtain eternal life. And if you haven't made that decision to become baptized, to dedicate your life to God, to live the way that he wants you to, then you will hear those words, depart from me. You have to make the decision to give your life to God, to be baptized before it's too late. And if you have dedicated your life to God and you have been baptized and you've fallen short as we all have, and you need to get better just like I need to, and you need the help and the support and the encouragement of this congregation, then we're here to help you. We're willing to do that, to pray for you and to be there for you, because we all have one goal, and that's to go to heaven, and we all want to go there together. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, I ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.